I know some California guys that grew up in Southern California. They're a little, you know, little pampered. It's 58 out. They break out the down jacket. You know anybody like that?
Yeah, well, I think he might be waiting to join us on the line here. Darren Jackson, he doesn't announce when it's snowing in Minnesota either when they call games, and he did grow up in California. And I think Harry just called you soft, DJ. What do you think about that?
I'm saying he crossed the line right there. I mean, he crossed the line. He didn't tiptoe over it. He just walked right past it and just kept going with that comment.
I don't know if it's necessarily you, but I was out in Cal. I've only been out there, you know, I don't know, 5-6 times. I was out there once. It was like 58, and people were wearing down jackets, DJ. And when it rains, oh, my God, I would have loved to have been there last week. When it rains, they like lead off the news with rain. Am I right?
No, you're correct. You're not incorrect. No, but, you know, it's your lifestyle, man. It rains. Everything shuts down out there. As a kid, you just like the movies. When it rained in Southern California, you were looking out the window with tears coming down your face, going, well, I can't go out and play. I mean, you literally didn't go out in the rain in Southern California. Everything shuts down. And then you go out to the rest of the world where it's snowing, it's raining, you got carpenters out there hammering away, building stuff. And I'm like going, they're not supposed to do that in the rain, are they?
Different world. So when you were playing and there was a game that was postponed due to inclement weather, would you find the positives in that, or would you be bummed out that you didn't get a chance to take the field?
Well, that's a good question, because if I stunk at the time, I was going, yes, all right, maybe tomorrow I'll be better. But, yeah, there was times where you were happy as a pig and slop that there was no baseball today, because you were thinking that you would come out of that time and all of a sudden you'd be better. Even without any practice, you're like, I'm going to be better. So you did, but then there's other times where you're locked in. You're going, man, I got to keep my mind right. I got to keep it locked in right here. I can't let it go. So you literally go to the hotel, you go to the ballparks, sitting there if it's canceled, and you keep that frame of mind and you do not let it wander at all. And you take it into the next game, whether it be a day, two. There's not many times where guys are going to say, we'll play in 3 days from now. That's a tough one to overcome. I don't care how locked in you are. You don't play ball for 3 days, that's going to affect you.
DJ Darren Jackson, White Sox Radio, alongside Ed Farmer with us here on 720 WGN. It's White Sox Weekly. Did you have five MLB baseball players on your Little League team? I read that today, Darren. Is that true?
On my Little League team, I don't know if they played in the big leagues.
Okay, maybe play
in
the minor.
I'd say at least, five guys that played in the minor leagues, and let me think, two that played in the big leagues, Timmy Leona and myself. And then there were a few more that ended up playing the minor leagues. But, I was pretty fortunate that way. We had some talent where I grew up.
I enjoyed your story this week. I was listening, I believe it was the Wednesday game, when you were talking about how you started working out with Daryl Strawberry. And he was like twice the size of everybody else.
Boy, I tell you what. The story is this, Harry. Look. So 1981 comes around. First of all, 1980, when he got drafted, first pick in the nation by the Mets, the whole talk of the high school players in town was Daryl Strawberry's the greatest. He just got drafted, all this. Well, the next year, I'm a senior, and everybody's talking about guys in Southern California, high school players in Southern California. Are they going to be first rounders? Shane Mack, who became a real good big league ball player, was a big name out in Southern Cal that time. I was one of those names, a few other guys, and all of a sudden, I see a few guys, and they're saying, we played against Strawberry. You're better than him. I go, wow, man, that's good for the ego, and that's good for the draft. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool until I actually worked out with him, and I went, that dude was a liar. that guy flat lied to me. There's no way he ever could have thought I was better than Daryl Strawberry, because I'd never seen any talent like that. And I was playing catch with him, throwing batting practice to him, and running with him. I go, No, this is like a man compared to me being in preschool. There's no comparison.
That's awesome. DJ, what do you guys do, by the way, with day off yesterday, day off today? I mean, are you losing it up there?
Thank goodness they have those sky walkways here to where it still connects the whole town, and you can go out, walk around, go in the store, get a cup of coffee, do whatever. You can move around still without feeling like you're crazy. And got a nice gym here across the street that you can go in and work out. So basically, I get up, go work out, take a little walk, got restaurants that are connected, hang out with some guys from the team, Herm Schneider and Ed Farmer, and I sit around and have some breakfast or something. And, you know, it's just, you make it through the day watching a little TV. I read a lot of books. I just, matter of fact, left having an early dinner with Ed. Now he just left me, and he's hanging out with a couple of guys that came in the restaurant. So it's just tag team. Whoever you come across, you're spending time with.
It's 5 o'clock, DJ. You guys are having dinner? This is like...
Look, my wife was on me earlier today when I told her I was having an early dinner. She goes, what are you, an old retiree? I go, hey, it is what it is.
Dude, Hawk hasn't even sat down to dinner yet.
Well, you know, Hawk's really young at heart, so don't put that on.
That's true. Mercy, have you been to the Mall of America, which, of course, is on the site of the old Twin Stadium?
I've been out there, but that was years and years ago that I went out there, man. That was when I played for the Twins up here, and then a couple of years after that when I had family up here, I went out to that Mall of America. But, yeah, I haven't been out there in a long time. Probably changed.
So here, let's talk about the ball club here, DJ. And
we tried avoiding, you know, it as long as we could.
No, we're fine. It was a little slump right now. Lost 6-7, 8-10. That's okay. It's part of the process here. But I want to talk to you about Yoan Moncada and what you're seeing. And Ricky Renteria has talked about how he's got to stay with it through an entire game. If he's not hitting at the plate, that he can't allow it to bring it out to the field. And the error the other night, and I almost thought, you know, what was more alarming to me, DJ, was the throw down to second, and he just dropped it. And not that he was going to get the base stealer, but it just was clear to me that his mind was wandering. I mean, what are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, the only way I can really describe what I'm seeing, because physical errors are going to take place, and, you know, you just mentioned, Carm, the error that he made. They gave him a hit on that bouncer that was to second base.
They gave
him a hit on that. Huh? That's crazy, right?
Yes. But, yes.
Yeah, they gave him a hit on that, which Ed and I just marked in our book as an error because it was a one hopper to, you know, one step to his left waist high. So, yeah, that was, you know, that's a little lack of focus there, which is important to do, focus on everything, but not a mental mistake, just a loss of memory there for a minute. Then the throw down to second, like you mentioned, he kind of reached up, jumped up a little bit and short-armed it where, yeah, you got to catch the ball. And it's these things that all of a sudden you take notice about younger players where you're going, okay, wait a minute, what's going on out there? Because if you're striking out 24 times in 12 games and, you know, and you're making mistakes defensively and you're not getting down squeeze bunts and stuff like this, there's a problem. There's a lapse in concentration and focus that's needed for you to, you know, be able to stay up here and do the job. Now, I don't know. This is something Ed and I talked about off the mic. Now, he's at a point where the team says, yeah, we're just going to let him make these mistakes in front of the world. And can he handle it mentally? Can he sit there and say, yeah, this isn't going to bother me. I'm fine. I'll just keep progressing. I'll get better, better. Because the talent's still there. He's the same guy with amazing talent. Or do you say, let's let him go somewhere, get his swing and his mind together, and then bring him up when he's hot again? So I have a feeling that right now the key is just let him keep growing and working through this. But you've got to remember, when somebody struggles in front of the world, you can put extra pressure on yourself and never recover. So we're hoping that's not the case, that mentally this is not going to bother him. He's strong as can be, but you never know what's really going on inside a guy's heart. If it's bothering him so much that it's hard to recover from. And I'm thinking right at this point, as long as he's got a manager that keeps patting him on his shoulder and said, we're not worried about you, he'll probably be fine, because that's what it takes. You know, somebody believes in you, and then you just say, I'm fine. I'm not going to worry about it.
Would you drop him down in the order?
Me personally, I would, but that's because I've always been known, and I've said this, that I always think younger players, they settle in nicer when they're down in that 7-8 spot, because there's no pressure on you to be the man. You know, the leader, there's like five positions in the batting order to me that have like a built-in job assignment. Leadoff man's got a job assignment to me. The number two guy does, 3, 4, and 5. These guys are all, to me, guys that have big responsibilities to do something special. After that, you're kind of getting the guys that are going to pick guys up that didn't get it done in front of them. But I think he would feel more comfortable. You alleviate the pressure of him not being the guy that's trying to set the table. Yeah, I'd move him back personally.
Hey, Darren, which is more surprising to you after 12 games, that Matt Davidson has 5 homers or that Matt Davidson has 9 walks?
Both. No, nothing. Matt is so strong and so powerful, it would never surprise me if he had 5 home runs over a stretch of 6 games, to be honest with you. He can hit the ball out any direction. And the walks, honestly, that doesn't really surprise me. Matt's, I think, a better hitter than most people really have had a chance to see. If you check his minor league stats before he ever got to the big leagues with the Arizona Diamondbacks, the dude crushed. I mean, he just had really, really important big numbers to get him to the big leagues with the Diamondbacks briefly when he struggled a little bit. But then he was back to the minor leagues. But I think if you really make an evaluation of who he has been as a player, what you're seeing right now is not too much of a surprise.
Let's talk about hitting with the runners in scoring position, Darren. And coming into the Twin Series, White Sox were 3 for their last 46, which is obviously not going to get it done. Are you seeing anything in particular, trying to do too much, perhaps?
Do we have to talk about this, Tom?
this is part of the growth. I'm holding that this is something that's happening early in the season, and the White Sox are going to get out of it based on the advice that you're about to give. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah. No, you just, that's it. You're out. But this is a team that obviously can't do any worse than that right now, unless you just say 0-for-50. But they're not going to. They're going to start putting a little more pressure on the pitcher. I mean, eventually your mind kind of takes over and goes, why am I putting the pressure on me? I'm walking up there. This guy's on the hook, not me. Bases are loaded, one out. Why am I swinging at everything? This guy, you've got to put that kind of pressure. You got to turn it off of you and put it on the pitcher. And the minute you do that, you start relaxing. You see the ball better. You let the ball come to you. You're not jumping out going, I have to go get the baseball. I'm in a hurry. The minute you take that, and you to put that onus on him, things change. And I'll bet pretty quickly the guys are going to be doing that. I have a feeling, because you look at video, you're listening to your coaches, and you're constantly told, stop doing that, put pressure on him, and things will slightly start turning around, especially after somebody like Abreu comes up, hits a big home run, and gives you a lead, or Davidson, or somebody does something special. The other guys will all relax in those situations. So I think we're getting to it. It just better be the next time we play, so we don't have to keep talking about it.
The familiar voice is that, of course, of Darren Jackson. Ed Farmer, Darren Jackson, have the Sox and the Twins hopefully tomorrow at 1:10. Andy Mazur's got every White Sox pregame right here on GN. 12:35 pregame tomorrow with Andy. Do you think we'll play, or are they going to have skiing competition at Target Field?
Let me just tell you guys, right now I stood up in my room in my hotel and I'm looking out at a blizzard. I mean, I literally cannot see the buildings across the street from where we are right now. And it's been doing that since about 8-something this morning. It's been looking exactly like this. There's probably, since it started, about 2 to 3 feet of snow. Playing tomorrow, I don't want to go out there and even walk across the street into this stuff. But, I don't think... If it doesn't change by sometime this evening, there's no way we play tomorrow. There's just no way. This is just terrible up here, guys. I've never, ever, I'm, as you said, from Southern California, and I've been in the snow in a lot of places, but I've never seen anything like this. This is crazy.
All those years, they made fun of the Humphrey Dome, and boy, they could use it this weekend, huh?
You're not kidding, and you know, they do have a dome right down the road here that's a football stadium that also is used as a baseball stadium. They're going to have to work out a deal to say, in these conditions, can we borrow your dome, please? That might make a little more sense.
I was actually surprised that maybe that, you know, wasn't put on the table here. Let's get these games in, because, you know, the Twins haven't announced when they're going to be made up, and there's a bunch of options. But when you miss a whole series, I mean, now you're... You know, that's going to create some problems down the line. People are going to be playing a lot of baseball, all crammed in. And Darren Jackson's going to have to do a lot of announcing. And that's not going to be easy for DJ, even though he's this talented, right?
Well, let me just tell you, I look forward to the challenge, man. There for 6 straight. Forget that. Let's see how that works out. But, yeah, no, it's a bad situation. And we did mention the other day at the ballpark to somebody that was an employee there. It's like, yeah, why again didn't they put a roof on this place? The infrastructure where it is, where it's located, couldn't support it. They didn't have the space because they needed a bigger lot, all this stuff. So there's a reason why there's no roof on this ballpark. But you got to work out a plan at times like this when you know something like this is a possibility to possibly go down the road or go out of town or just schedule the games better. Warm weather only the first month. That's it. No places like this.
Which was my solution, by the way. Earlier in the show, I brought up all spring training games in cold weather cities should be played in Arizona. People love going to games down there.
Yeah, the owners are going to go for that.
There's enough money in the game. We could figure this out.
But he did have a really good idea after that, which was to have doubleheaders and just charge more. Because that's the reason we don't have doubleheaders, right? Is the owners want 81 gates. You know, what if you charged, you know, twice the price for a doubleheader?
Not twice, DJ, but like say you charge like 125% of a normal ticket, so it wouldn't be a complete loss of revenue, you know?
You guys are lost. That's why they have split doubleheaders, so they can get the double money. They just split the game. They do doubleheaders back-to-back anymore. They don't want to do those. No, they're going to split them. That's simple as that. It's crazy talk, you two. Crazy talk.
We are crazy.
Well, we're doing our best in goodwill, though. No, this is a solid, good faith show trying to make baseball as good as it can possibly be.
Man, you go from working with Farmio to talking with Carmio.
Well, that's... It's a big drop right there. DJ, good to talk to you. Always great to see you. We'll see you at the ballpark when you guys get on back. And you're not going to enjoy Oakland, back to the home base. That'll be some better weather for you.
That's a fact. Thanks, Carr. Thanks, Harry. I appreciate the time.